So, folks, you've heard me talk this week quite a bit about whether or not jurisdictions should be willing to accept the help and the offer that has been made by the Trump administration of federal assets and resources, whether that be military and or law enforcement individuals that work within the federal construct. And what's made the news here recently has been Chicago and what's going on there. And most recently, the Chicago Labor Day weekend had 7 dead. I think it's up to 8 now, 52 wounded in shootings as well, as to whether or not this is a manufactured crisis or not. And I happen to see P. Ray Easley, founder of Chicago Red. She is a Project 21 ambassador and a political abolitionist and hostess of Black Excellence Hour on a radio station in Chicago, where she's been working to move Black Chicagoans to the right and maybe exhibit a little common sense about law enforcement and how this works here. And she joins us now. P. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me this afternoon.
So I listened to you the other day. You had a very commonsensical approach to all of this. Tell us about the reaction of your mayor and your governor to this offer and your thoughts.
So we have to remember that our mayor represents the Democratic Socialists of America. They are the people who got him going through the Chicago Teachers Union. And so they're functioning off a different type of politics. They, meaning the Chicago Teachers Union, has been going down to Venezuela for at least a decade, building relationships with people, and honestly, what I believe is passing out promises and maps on how to get to Chicago. And so because they've already told these people that they would be able to come here and live freely, they're doing everything that they can to maintain them while they're here. And that includes making laws so that the Chicago Police Department cannot assist ICE, telling the Chicago public school children that they should be afraid of ICE when my child is not an immigrant at all. They're just doing a lot of things to align themselves with this movement, which is kind of weird because we all know it, across the country, that it was the cartel who trafficked them to Chicago, and Chicago is the headquarters for many factions of the cartel. So it seems like there's something bigger going on here.
What is your reaction to the mayor when asked directly by members of the media about this assistance and whether or not human capital matters, whether or not boots on the ground matter in Chicago, just the unwillingness and the deflection that goes on with every question? He's not willing to talk about it at all.
Well, again, because he has a script that he's following. This is a plan that they had in place when they decided to run him for office. And so they're sticking to the plan no matter what. What type of mayor would think that it's okay to publicly attack the president of the United States to the detriment of the citizens of your city when you have to be reelected? It's really strange that they have all of this time and energy to dedicate to people who do not have Social Security numbers. But here I am, an eighth generation American, and everything that I get in this city requires ID and Social Security numbers and residency. It is absolutely asinine, which is why we're very excited that the National Guard is coming here to help us manage this cartel problem, because this is going to be more of a military operation, I believe.
And what's this move by J.B. Pritzker, the governor there, the state of Illinois, walking around in neighborhoods that, you know, the significant reduction in crime that's occurred there, but where the shootings are occurring, he's not walking in that neighborhood.
He went to Little Village, and Little Village is actually the headquarters for the cartel in North America. So there is lots of shooting and killing going on there. A lot of the shootings that happened this past weekend was in that neighborhood. However, again, they're trying to push the message that we don't want the feds to come here, because once the feds arrive, they're going to uncover some really heinous crimes that are going on, and they're going to be held responsible for it. So they're trying to play this this missile game with the public to say, oh, you guys don't want them here. We don't need these people here. But I'm getting calls from people who are saying, please, we want them immediately. We're tired of the drug trafficking. We're tired of the murders. We're tired of human trafficking. We're tired of our children not being able to play outside because they don't know whether or not someone's going to shoot when we're in the city where the majority of the shootings go unsolved. So if you have an issue with someone in Chicago, if you shoot someone, there's a very high possibility that you could get away with it. So there's no deterrent to crime. So if we're going to get some help to solve the crime, then let us get the help.
If you had to assess the overall feeling of Chicagoans relative to more police on the streets, where do you think that would break out?
You would see overwhelmingly that Chicagoans want more police on the street. Again, we deserve safety and security just like everybody else. But Chicago has become so synonymous with crime and death that people think that we just see this as a regular thing. And it's kind of strange because the day that the president of his assassination attempt, I was with members of the campaign here in Chicago, and they were crying and they were very upset. And I was just kind of sitting there and they said, you're not upset, Patricia. And I said, well, he's alive, right? They're like, yeah. I'm like, does he have tubes in him? They're like, no. I'm like, okay, then he's fine. They're like, oh my God, you are so Chicago because the president just got shot and you're just like, oh, he's fine. Because we have to get used to this. We have to train our brains to deal with this trauma. And this is the United States of America. Nobody should have to live like this. So yes, we want all of the help that we can get to some level of normalcy in this city. We are the third largest city in America. We deserve order, please. So we're very happy that President Trump heard us, and we look forward to waving American flags as the troops march down the street.
You know, it's interesting. It's free help. You are one of the few folks that I've been able to listen to that actually looks at this financially as well. I think you make the observation that the citizens of the city of Chicago are some of the most taxed citizens in the country. And yet the demand for services are not met. They go unheard. And it seems as though the mayor there just deflects, denies, evades, and then attacks you as a taxpayer and citizen.
Correct. So we live in the same neighborhood and we kind of know each other because we're all kind of in the same social circle. He's a little older than me. But I say that to say that, yeah, these are the games they play. So I get messages through the neighborhood letter like, oh, please, you know, slow down with Brandon, or could you stop? What do you want? How can you stop this? I'm like, guys, this is a serious matter. Brandon obviously is not here for us, but he's using the social capital of us being this great village on the west side of Chicago to justify what he's doing. They want to put a black face on this immigration issue, and we are not immigrants. New Orleans, our people are from Louisiana and Mississippi, just like yours. So none of this has anything to do with us, but they want to try to use our trauma to say, oh, well, we're in some united fight against the American white male, and we are not. We are American people, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, and right now we're in the middle of an invasion. So we are trying to stop this invasion because 90% of the heroin in this country is trafficked right off the heroin highway, which is on the west side of Chicago, which is the Chicago Loop, which means that if you know people who have died from heroin overdoses, it was probably trafficked from where we are right here. Help us stop this so that we can have more Americans live instead of burying their loved ones.
How many families do you know and come in contact with that, you know, have had an overdose in their family? I hear that on the west side of Chicago, this is a daily occurrence.
People are overdosing daily. I have friends who have overdosed and survived, those who have overdosed and died. Because when you are the epicenter of drug trafficking in North America, that means that you have all types of drugs. We have drug tourists who come here, people that you meet outside and are like, oh, I just caught the train here from Wisconsin. I heard you guys got the best Mac in America and you're very kind people. So as long as I have money, people will be kind to me. They'll feed me, make sure I'm okay, and then I can go back home. What does that look like for the safety and security of the people who live here,
We don't deserve this. We don't deserve to tell our kids, oh, that person's overdosed, and remember, don't do pills, or they're shooting because they're in some type of drug trafficking war on the streets in broad daylight. This is America. Nobody, this is abnormal. It's completely abnormal, but the mayor is focused on maintaining the sanctuary status of our city over really getting to the root of this crime, and that's drug trafficking.
I thought I heard you quantify the number that was spent by Chicago relative to that. Am I correct?
So the city of Chicago, right, when you mean spent, you mean supporting the migrants?
Yes.
So, yes, the city of Chicago spent $637 million on them last year. Currently, the city is $1 billion in the hole. The Chicago Public Schools are $739 million in the hole at this very moment. The state of Illinois spent $2 billion on health care for them. Our governor just the other day signed a bill that allows illegals to get financial aid in the state of Illinois to attend universities, which means the FAFSA forms must be obsolete, because if they can get financial aid without a Social Security number, so should everybody else. So there's every day, it's a new trick. It's another way to give an invoice to the taxpayers of the state of Illinois to support people from the third world who decided to come here illegally. We can't afford that anymore, sir. So this is why they have to go. This is why we're standing with the president, because if we're going to spend this extra money, it has to be on this literacy crisis that we're dealing with right now. That's what we want to deal with, or the crime amongst ourselves. We have to figure out how to solve our American problem before we take on anybody else's.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're one of the few that connects all of these things together and doesn't, you know, you don't address it in each individual silo, because I, like you, believe that they're all interconnected, because it all comes back to the prioritization of issues, right? As to whether or not we are a poor country. We have 40 something million people that live below the federally identified poverty level. And if we're going to have an immigration policy, why would we want more poor people? Right.
Exactly.
I mean, because that puts everybody at risk, right?
Yes. I totally agree. And that's why we have to, one, as a nation, especially within my community, start having more conversations about the middle class rather than the lower class. Because although we have a high number of people who are living impoverished, the majority of Black Americans in this country are middle class. And we can find that statistic everywhere. So instead of concentrating all of our social and political capital on the lowest, we need to start focusing on the middle. So that way the resources can be better distributed and we are not making ourselves look low at all times.
This mindset of your mayor, Johnson, has that permeated throughout the criminal justice system in Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. So they have what's called the Safety Act here in the state of Illinois, and that means that there are only certain crimes you can be detained for. Let me tell you a couple of crimes that people were not detained for. They found an American woman named Megan Boss in Lake County, Illinois, in a vat of acid where her body was being dissolved by an illegal immigrant from Mexico. He goes to court. The Lake County court charged him with like concealment of a corpse or something like that. Because it's not a detainable crime, he got to go back home. So her mom had to go all the way to Washington, D.C. and get an audience with President Trump to tell him this story. And he sent ICE to go pick that guy up. He literally told her, watch what's about to happen. So that's what we're dealing with here. The way that we victimize villains in this state is absolutely deplorable. We need to really focus on making sure that the justice system gives justice to the victims rather than trying so hard to make the villain the victim of the story.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we see that over and over and over again. And yet, as you point out, those that have been the taxpaying citizens of Chicago for a long time, and y'all have some high taxes, to say the least.
Sales tax are 10.5%, so you pay a dime on every dollar that you spend in Illinois.
Yeah, well, we can feel your pain because that's about where we are here as well down south. And you know, we fight for the same thing. We want the services. We want the potholes filled. We want our street lights repaired. You know, we want our red lights to actually work, our traffic control lights, and so forth and so on. Well, best of luck for you. It's going to be interesting to see how this saga unfolds. What's your prediction?
I think that when the National Guard gets here, we're going to have a ball with them. Remember, Chicago is a city where the girls twerk on top of the police cars at the street parties. So we don't have a problem with the police. We have a problem with degenerates. And we are so happy that somebody's going to come and bring us some help. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. P. Ray Easley, founder of Chicago Red. Best of luck to you. And thank you for spending time with us this morning. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy Thursday.
You too. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.